Welcome here to the Extra Period on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. The only place you'll find Syracuse Silver Knights post-game conversation immediately following all the home games is right here on WakeUpCallDT.com, a piece of the Dan Tortora broadcast media family. Very important here that you listen in to these guys in their first ever playoff series. Syracuse Silver Knights in their third season attain a berth in the playoffs. Best record they've ever had with 12 wins after having 9 wins and 8 wins in their first two seasons, and then now coming in the third season with 12, going in to face the Baltimore Blast reigning champion team in this first playoff series the Syracuse Silver Knights have ever been so blessed to have and worked hard for. So now I give you Tommy Tanner, the president and head coach of the Syracuse Silver Knights, here with me, Dan Tortora, on the Extra Period immediately following the game. Starting off with what Tommy Tanner saw from the Baltimore Blast in that opening quarter of Syracuse's first ever playoff match.
No, they did a great job of pressuring us, and we played into their pressure and gave some balls away, and it cost us two goals.
You and I talked about what the team needed. You actually said it to the team in practice the game before, or the day before, that you didn't want them to play back to Brian O'Quinn. You wanted them to play forward. They were going back a lot. Was that something that you go in and say to them, let's not do that again? Were you okay with them kind of working it that way? I mean, what did you take away from that?
I mean, Baltimore does a good job of pressure, so they obviously didn't have any. Not only they wanted to go back, but they didn't have anywhere to go but to back. And, you know, when we go back like that, Brian's got to make better decisions, and people got to show better for him. You know, Brian's looking there, and there's nobody there. You know, so, you know, just we'll be better in Baltimore.
What did you take away from Brian's play tonight? I mean, obviously there's goals that we're giving up, but at certain points in the game, especially in the second half, it looked like it was kind of just him on the defensive side, and he was calling out for more help. What did you take away from his play, and what your expectations were of him? Did he meet them, or do you feel like there's a lot that needs to be improved for that next game?
No, Brian did fine. I mean, it was just defensively we weren't. You know, we tried to pressure him, and you know what? It didn't work. They put out of our pressure and got the ball past us, and then they, you know, every time we had the ball, there was two Baltimore guys and one Syracuse guy. And, you know, at the end of the day, if that happens enough, you're going to lose.
On the offensive side, was it more their ability to pressure on defense, or was it the fact that you thought maybe not enough passes were going through, not the right looks? I mean, what do you attribute to the low score that you had on your end?
I think the most we scored against Baltimore is 10 points, so we weren't far off of that. You know, again, like I said, we're not going to beat Baltimore if we give up 17 points. We've got to hold them under 8 points, you know, and we'll have a chance to beat Baltimore. But you know what? We need to get 5 guys behind the ball. We just need to do a better job of our final pass wasn't great tonight. We had plenty of chances in the first half, 3-on-1, and you know, the times we did create opportunities with pressure, you know, the final pass was not a good pass.
The play that was over here where the ball was blown, the whistle blew the play dead, but then the goal went in afterward. What type of reasoning did they give you for that when they said that there was a foul on Chantal and then they let the goal go in?
Well, they played a quick free kick. Now, I don't know if they need a whistle. I always thought you needed a whistle, but, you know, I'm not sure if you need a whistle or not. But, you know, they said they didn't need to play a whistle. You know, we didn't do a good job of stepping in front of the ball and encroaching it like they do every single time. And you know what? It was our stupidity.
Overall, from what you saw tonight, how confident are you to go into Baltimore and be able to even this out and then go into that extra game?
No, I'm very confident. You know what I mean? This is one game, and you know what? We show, you know what? You know, it's the playoffs, and it's our first time in the playoffs, and the intensity's got to get higher, and you know, we'll be better in Baltimore.
Before I let you go, we always talk about positives, taking those from a loss. What positives can you take away from this?
No, there's zero. I just want to thank the fans for coming out and supporting us in the playoffs. But there's not a single positive that we had tonight in terms of other than effort. You know, some players put in some great effort, but you know what? There's no positives in a 20-7 defeat.
No positives in a 20-7 defeat. Big words from head coach Tommy Tanner after going throughout the season and speaking with me right here on WakeUpCallDT.com, a piece of Dan Tortora broadcast media, about the fact that when there were those losses during the season, there were positives that he was taking. But in this game, he said no positives as the Syracuse Silver Knights prepare to go to Baltimore for another game and then a mini game, and they have to win both in order to advance to the championship round for the MISL Major Indoor Soccer League Championship. somewhere the Baltimore Blast know all too well, being reigning champions and formerly with the Baltimore Blast, Michelle Millwood, up until last season, and now as a Syracuse Silver Knight, has helped the team throughout the season and been a big part, in my mind, of their success. And Tommy Tanner obviously giving some credit to Michelle Millwood, looking at his team growing as a whole, but definitely seeing that Michelle Millwood has been a piece of this positive turnaround for the Syracuse Silver Knights after having two losing seasons to start off their history in the MISL in that video interview. And you could check out that video interview with Tommy Tanner that I've had, as well as Michelle Millwood and all of the Syracuse Silver Knights interviews and fan experience, the virtual fan experience you don't want to miss out on. Those are all on youtube.com/wakeupcallDT. That's youtube.com/wakeupcallDT. All one word. Michelle Millwood up next. Knows what it's like to win a championship. Knows this Baltimore Blast team. After the game, I asked Michelle what the first thing was on his mind in that moment that zeros ran across the scoreboard.
We still got one more game to go. This is just it's a three-game series, and we lost the first one. Unfortunately, we shouldn't have given up that one at home, and now we just have to fight even harder to win the next game and hopefully bring it into the 15-minute overtime.
Right before halftime, you scored a goal. Looked frustrated out there. Looked like, you know, there was some going through your head that you just wanted it, get one in. What was kind of going on with you in the first half? Because, I mean, from the look from the stands was that you just kind of looked like, all right, we need to get something going.
I mean, we definitely needed a spark. I just felt as though if I step up there and hit it correctly, I could get it in the goal. And there's just little things that we didn't do right. You know, I was frustrated about that. We talked about it all week in practice, and it seems like we stepped on the field and we lost track of most of the things that we wanted to do. You know, and as I said before, if we don't play a perfect game against these guys that's been around, they bring back a core set of guy every year, and they play the same way from beginning to end, then we won't have a chance. And we you saw that in the game tonight. They didn't do anything special. They did the same thing that they've been doing all year. Unfortunately, we didn't step up as much as we should have tonight, and the score kind of got out of hand.
You and I talked about discipline before and how that's what Baltimore is and that's what Syracuse needs to be. Was this a complete lack of discipline? Did you see discipline on your end, or what did you take away from this?
I mean, we just needed to play with a little more passion. It's a home game. It might be our last home game if we don't perform up to standard. And I don't think we've played with that passion, you know, and it doesn't take one or two guys to do it. It takes everyone to come out and play with that passion. Every guy that steps out on the floor has to work hard and make sure they come with that passion. Even if you're having a bad game, it's the passion, the 50-50 tackles, you know, turn it into a goal scoring break for yourself. And that's what they did tonight. They just seemed like they wanted a little bit more than we did.
When you look back on a game like this, on a score like this, the way that things went, just talked with Tommy. Tommy said he takes zero positives from this. Is there anything that you can take positively from a game like that, or are you right there with Tommy?
Positively, we can still take that they didn't do anything special to beat us. You know, they played the same way, and that's as positive as we're going to get. You know, if we don't come out and outperform them, especially with our energy level, then this is the result we're going to get. We could talk all we want, but they still did not do anything special to beat us that we have to worry about and work on. You know, so that's the positive, that we don't have to go back and watch film and think about, oh, they did something special that now we have to counter it when we go to their home. They played the same way. And if we can just come out with enough energy, enough passion, you know, knowing that it's a playoff game and it's a do-or-die situation, we have to go down there and win to stay in the playoffs, to go to the finals, then we should be all right. But if we don't come out with that passion, then we could have another result like this one.
With a team that's getting to the postseason for the first time ever, where does this lack of passion come from? Because it kind of looked, in a lot of situations, especially in some of the offensive drives that you had and possessions that you had, that the team wasn't really trying hard to score the ball, kind of playing to not lose instead of playing to win the game. Where does that lack of passion come from, where you would think the expectation would be that all that passion is going to be there because it's the first game that the Knights have had in the postseason?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's still soccer. Once they blow the first whistle and you start playing, the jitters have to go somewhere. You know, it still comes
come down to what guys have been doing for 20-something-odd years. You know, and now it's time just to play. You know, the fans are here, but once the ball keeps moving, you even forget that there are fans around watching. So it's one of those things that we have to get the butterflies out of our system early. You know, and just resort to just playing the game we love to play, playing the game we were born to play, most of us guys. And if we do that, I'm sure we could come away with a victory. But I mean, if we have any letdowns, or if we have guys that come out and don't want to play or don't believe that we can win, it could be a disaster coming for us next game. But I think there are guys in the locker room that actually want to win. So we just have to work on the little things that we didn't do well tonight, and hopefully we'll be able to come away with that win.
Effort, a necessity. Can have all the talent in the world, but without effort, without a want to get the championship, without a want to overcome adversity when it hits you, that is the difference. Michelle Millwood saying there are guys on the team that want to win. And so those guys definitely have to, for the Syracuse Silver Knights to move forward, not only keep doing what they're doing as far as their effort, but to hopefully rub off on some of the guys that may not be where they are right now. Michelle Millwood also brought up the fact that this was a first playoff game, and that for the Syracuse Silver Knights, and when the team is getting ready, he said there's this energy in the beginning, and you have to shake off the jitters. And so I spoke with LJ Papaleo, who played for the Syracuse Orange in collegiate soccer and then also went overseas to play professionally in Poland before coming to the Syracuse Silver Knights, this being his first indoor soccer experience. And I talked to him about that, you know, the jitters of this first playoff game. Was it being nervous? Was it fatigue from the season? What was it that he thought affected the Syracuse Silver Knights and ultimately bringing about a loss?
Well, the way I saw it, they have been here before many times. This is our first time in franchise history. We didn't know what it took to win, and they're the best. So, I mean, it was very easy for them to step up their game from the playoff or from the season. They brought their game to a whole different level. But something we haven't seen the whole season out of them is just they were machines out there. They're perfect in every way. So we need to give it 110%, and we need to step up our game if we want to compete with them.
Did it seem like at times, I mean, obviously it's 5-on-5, but did it seem like there was more guys out there for them because they're there for every touch, it looked like?
Yeah, they're very disciplined, and they want to win the game, so they're fighting very hard. You know, we want to win, but we find ourselves undisciplined at times. And, you know what, like I said, it goes back to they're very experienced. It's our first time out there, and they definitely stepped up their game. So, I mean, we have to step up ours for return leg.
You have a quick turnaround. You got to go out to Baltimore now, and you got to win too. So how do you get this done? Seeing what you saw tonight, how do you turn it around and be ready for a team that obviously knows how to win and is a reigning champion?
We need to force them to make errors, and that means running around at 110 miles per hour and fighting to stay alive, really. It's a battle out there. They're very physical, and they're not afraid to get stuck in. So we need to do that, too. We need to give them a little bit of their own medicine.
Defensively, Brian O'Quinn made some good saves. Obviously, some got through. What can you say about the guys in front of them for you and for your teammates and how you felt the defense was today? Do you feel like you did all that you could, or do you feel like there's places where there were some holes that you didn't fill?
I think we did what we could at the time. We haven't seen them like this before. You know, we were a goal away from them during the season when we lost, a goal or two, and we beat them once by one goal. They crushed us today, and it was something, you know, we weren't expecting it. We made a couple errors in the back, and they capitalized. They made a couple errors, and I didn't capitalize. A few of the other guys didn't capitalize, and that's the difference.
When you look at your experience that you had overseas as well as what you had at Syracuse, do you take from anything? Because obviously it's your first indoor, but can you take anything from those experiences of being down and having to bounce back?
Yeah. It was very difficult for me to make the team over there in Poland. You're starting at disadvantage because, you know, just like any country, they don't want a foreigner to take their job. So you had to start at a disadvantage. And this return leg, we're going to start at a disadvantage. So, you know, we've prevailed before, and we're going to try it again.
What can you say to your teammates? Obviously, you're one of the new guys on the roster, but what can you say to them in practice, in the locker room, to kind of turn things around? I mean, is there anything that you feel like you can give in the locker room mentally to help the team be prepared for what's coming?
I can give them my passion. Yeah, I'm not happy that we lost, but I can go in the locker room and say that I tried my very best, you know, and when practice comes around tomorrow, I'm going to give it my very best, and let's see if that, you know, that feeds off of, the players can feed off of me. Just like some of the other leaders, like Millwood, he gives 110% at practice. Let's see if it goes to the other players as well. Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
That's LJ Papaleo, former Syracuse Orange soccer player who went on to Poland and came into the Syracuse Silver Knights this season for his first ever indoor soccer season, saying that he needs to show his effort. He needs to bring it in practice, and hopefully that'll rub off on the other guys and help them to get to where they need to be. Well, the Syracuse Silver Knights throughout the season in four games with the Baltimore Blast were right there, potentially where they needed to be, in very, very close games that went in favor of Baltimore three times out of four, but were those games where you had that very, very close one goal difference type of matchup. In this game, in the first ever playoff game between the Syracuse Silver Knights and the Baltimore Blast, Syracuse Silver Knights gave up 20 points, only scored 7. The last one was with the sixth attacker with the ball kicked down the field. So you look at 17-7 when there was an actual goalkeeper, that being Brian O'Quinn, in goal for the Syracuse Silver Knights. And he's here to speak with me now, first and foremost, on what happened in this game that the Baltimore Blast and the Syracuse Silver Knights didn't play close like they did during the season, and that Baltimore truly got out and won commandingly over the Knights.
I mean, I think it unfortunately got away from us a little bit in that first quarter. I think we got into a little bit of a hole. I think it was, 6-0 or something like that early on. And we had to chase the game a little bit from there. Unfortunately, that caused us to change our style a little bit, got away from what we really wanted to do, and obviously forced us to have to go forward a little bit. Unfortunately, it's a fabulous defensive team. So when you have to press to obviously get forward, you can't sit back and play a defensive style along with them, then they get opportunities and chances. So I think defensively, when you look at probably second quarter, end of the third quarter, end of the fourth quarter, I mean, the opportunities that they had were very limited. Our defense played fantastic. We were able to keep possession of the ball a lot better, and we did a better job getting out of their pressure. Unfortunately, start of the third quarter and start of the first quarter, we struggled a little bit and ultimately lost the game in those 15 minutes.
When you look back at some of those defensive moments where there were those gaps or that space left in front of you, what did you say to the guys? Because you talked to me last game about not screaming for the sense of screaming, but screaming with a purpose. What were you saying to the guys in those situations?
Well, unfortunately, it was a little bit of composure on the ball and a little bit of work rate. Those are the two things that I think we needed. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the first half, four of the goals that we gave up were because of defensive giveaways. One by myself, and obviously three others occurred. And unfortunately, they were able to capitalize on them. One came off of a deflection. Another one, they had tap-ins, basically, that happened because of it. So our focus, and when we came into halftime and obviously started talking a little bit, was obviously about having a little bit more composure and obviously doing a better job clearing the ball. We were obviously playing the ball up the middle a little bit, right into their pressure. They had the opportunity to come back and obviously come in on a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 or even 1-on-0, and they finished those chances. And if you look at obviously what happened in the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, those types of things didn't happen. So we corrected the problem, but we got ourselves in a little bit of a hole, unfortunately.
When you're in a situation like this game where Tommy said that he wanted you guys to not play backwards to you, but to keep playing forward against a team like this, you got involved a lot, and there was a lot of balls coming back your way. Did you want to be as involved as you were, or was that something that you're hoping when you go down to Baltimore that they don't have to play back to you?
I don't necessarily mind having the ball played back to me. It's just obviously we need to make the right runs and be in good enough shape to get out of it. We work religiously on being able to get out of pressure and making the right runs, and unfortunately today, we didn't quite make those on every single occasion. And a team like this, unfortunately, makes it very challenging on you if you don't put the right pressure on. If you don't make the right runs, they ultimately are very composed, very compact, and ultimately make it very difficult to get out. And it forces us to have to just chip balls forward, kind of just float balls up in the air to get out of the pressure and basically live another day. So if we're doing the right things and we have the right spacing on the field and we're making the right runs, I have no issues with getting those balls because I know we can get out of their pressure. pressure. If we don't do that, like we did in the beginning of the first quarter, it struggles. We struggle a little bit.
Lastly, you said to the fans, we'll be back here. Don't worry about next year. We'll be back here to see you guys soon after Baltimore. What are the characteristics of the team right now that you think can get you to that final series?
I mean, I'll just look at the second half as a measuring stick. I mean, obviously, I think before they scored their three-pointer late in the game, their two three-pointers, I mean, it was a 4-3 game, really. We didn't have a great start of the third quarter, and then basically we dominated, in my opinion, the next 15 minutes of the game. And it's that type of activity, that type of work rate that I think ultimately will bring us to the championship in the finals. And we're going to have to continue to work on doing that and doing the things that made us successful in that 15-minute span of time.
Turning 15 minutes of positive play into 60 minutes is what's crucial right now for the Syracuse Silver Knights to minimize the mistakes and to make sure that when they have those opportunities, they take them and they capitalize against a Baltimore Blast team that really just seems like, even though there's five guys out there and the goalkeeper, seems like they have more players, at least in this first matchup with the Syracuse Silver Knights in the playoffs, that they had more players on the field than the Knights because they get to every single player who has the ball. They challenge everything. So Syracuse Silver Knights cannot give up their looks, not give up their opportunities, because Baltimore Blast is not the type of team to give you many. So when you get those chances, they have to take them and do well with them, as well as on the defensive end, not give up goals, give help to Brian O'Quinn. And for Brian, like Tommy Tanner, he has to make some good decisions on where he's going with the ball as well for this team to move on, that team being the Syracuse Silver Knights. They have the toughest piece of their history happening right now. They get into the playoffs for the first time ever, and the team that they end up with are the Baltimore Blast. First off, the reigning champions, a team that every single year is contending for the MISL championship, and that is who they pull for their first matchup in the playoffs. So they will get an opportunity to go up against the Baltimore Blast to end this series on Tuesday, March 11th at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time. You can see that on the Baltimore Blast YouTube page if you're not going to be in Baltimore. Baltimore Blast, Syracuse Silver Knights in Baltimore. There will be a full game at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time, and then after that, a mini game. The Syracuse Silver Knights have to win both in order to move on to the MISL final, which would be happening right after that 11th game. The Syracuse Silver Knights will have a quick turnaround and then be back at the War Memorial in Syracuse, New York. So if you want your Knights to get back, they got to beat the Baltimore Blast. You have to go through the reigning champions to get to the championship. Tough task, but the Syracuse Silver Knights believe that they can do it, and their fan base so supportive to stick around in that first playoff game despite the 20-7 loss, and when the buzzer sounded, to clap, stand up, and cheer for their team. So Syracuse Silver Knights fans, I commend you on that. Any fan that could stand up after a loss and still tell their team, hey, we're here for you, that is true. That's a true fan. I talk about being a true fan all the time, not a fair weather fan, not an idiot, where there's a difference between a fan and an idiot, where people just go to games to yell and take out their frustration that they have in their life. A true fan is there for you, win, lose, or draw. A true fan comes out in a snowstorm. A true fan comes out to see you after a five-game losing streak. A true fan comes out after you've been on the road for a month. That's a true fan. And the true fans were out at the War Memorial for the Syracuse Silver Knights, and I want to thank them for their support in a team that I truly believe should stay here and be here, and we should talk about the 20th season of the Syracuse Silver Knights in Syracuse, New York. I would love to have the opportunity to do that with a team that I was with since day one, called the first game to. I would love for them to continue on in Syracuse. So their support is crucial, and these games coming up against the Baltimore Blast are crucial as well. I'm Dan Tatora. You're here on WakeUpCallDT.com in the extra period. You can find out information on the Syracuse Silver Knights 24/7, 365, all the time on the Knights on Call page of WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. All you have to do is go to the More tab on wakeupcalldt.com and scroll down to Nights on Call. For the virtual fan experience where I have the players talk with you, the fans, that you won't find anywhere else. Plus all of these show broadcasts, as well as video playback of all the Syracuse Silver Knights games this season, their scheduled results, and so much more, and how you can buy tickets for the Syracuse Silver Knights. So make sure you check out the Knights on Call page of wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and take care of yourself. For Dan Tatora Broadcast Media, and also for the Syracuse Silver Knights, God bless, and I'll talk to you very soon.